Hey guys, welcome to Underdog Dynasty's Midnight Podcast, episode one, although it's technically two, because we did it live last week. We're going to do this every week, Saturday night, at midnight Central Time. That means 1 a.m. Eastern for you people that can't do that time zone switch thing. If you want to email the show, email us at underdogdynasty@gmail.com. That's the easiest way to do it. You're going to hear me later fumble up the email address, but that's the email you should email. Yeah, I really said that right now. Thanks, guys. All right, so, like, some things happened in, I guess we want to call it Underdog Dynasty Land. Can we go ahead and take away the G5 name and just give it our own name? We'll call it Underdog Dynasty World. Some big things happened, especially in Conference USA. UTSA finally got a win, albeit in lucky fashion over Florida International. I was at that game. And let me tell you, I thought for certain that UTSA was going to lose that one. But they got a fumble on with like a minute and a half left or something like that, and luckily kicked a field goal to win the game. And so that was ridiculous. UNT, my alma mater, so I'm pretty sad about this, basically fell flat in their face in Birmingham, Alabama. And, you know, although the line was something like 6.5 points. You know, UAB favored. UNT went and they lost 21-56, or 56-21 was the final score if you're a UAB fan. I guess it all depends on perspective, guys. But yeah, that happened. Other things that happened around Conference USA: Rice won 41-21. That's my dog in the background, by the way. Only the most professional podcast here on Underdog Dynasty, guys. I sound super stuffy, and I blame that on allergies. That's what happened. Marshall won 49-24, pretty much solidifying their place as the best team in Conference USA. There's really no doubt. I had some questions. Everybody had some questions about Marshall, wondering if like maybe they, you know, slow up a little bit, given that their schedule wasn't really, I wouldn't say like tough, but you know they're pretty much putting any questions or any doubts to bed right now by pretty much dominating. 49-24, they beat Middle Tennessee, and probably their, you know, like the most challenging game that they've had in a while. I'm taking a look at their schedule right here. You know, like, yeah, Old Dominion wasn't, you know, I thought maybe they'd give them a little run, but they didn't. And, I mean, Middle Tennessee was like the only team that, you know, I thought maybe could give them a something. They got FIU at FIU next, and I don't know how good FIU is. Again, I saw them play tonight, and let's just say I think that was more, you know, like they really could have beat UTSA. UTSA is not playing very well at all. Maybe they found a quarterback. I don't know. But I think Marshall rolls over FIU and pretty much everybody else on their schedule. UAB looked pretty good today, Marshall takes on UAB in Birmingham on the 22nd, so that should be interesting. What else happened? Oh, UTEP beat up on ODU. Well, they held on, right, 42-35. But they put up a lot of points. Old Dominion scored late, was at 21 points in the third quarter, to kind of make it interesting there. Good game. UTEP comes out with the win. So how is this going to work? This is like, we did this last week, but it was like a mystery podcast because we're super cool like that. We like to keep things interesting. So what we did it live. We had some call-ins. We had some people that write for Underdog Dynasty call in and give their HSOs, which an HSO, well, if you live in Dallas, maybe you know that's a hot sports opinion. You might know it on the internet as like a hot sports take. But I lived in Dallas for 6 years, so I know it as an HSO, guys. I think our first caller in is going to be Jared Kalmus from what is he? He's from Austin. I want to say like from Victoria, Texas. I just know that about him. But he's going to call in and he's going to talk some UTSA with me whenever he can, I guess he's going to do. So that's coming up. Also, Carl Strength is going to call in and talk some Sun Belt, because we're going to talk some Sun Belt too. And I mean, really anybody else that's going to like, anybody else that feels the need to call in. You want to get in like contact with the show because it's a midnight show. And if you're listening to it right now, you're kind of a diehard. And maybe if you're listening to this like, you know, during the week, you're at work, you're sitting in your cubicle and you're like, how do I get in touch with this? Well, you can email the show. I think the best way to email it, we haven't even figured this out. Best way to do it just to be like to tweet at Underdog Dynasty and say, hey, listen to the podcast, you know, blah, blah, blah. Here's my HSO. By the way, Adam, I think you're terrible. Or maybe, Adam, you're the best person in the world. I don't know. I don't know what you think about me, man. Let me know. So, yeah, also, like, American Athletic Conference. What happened there? Because also we covered that one, too. ECU got a win, 28-17 over USF. I don't know what to think about ECU. They're kind of like a best of the rest kind of team. I don't know. I'm still kind of bitter that they left Conference USA, but, you know, whatevs, man. Miami beat Cincinnati 55-34. And that was in front of approximately four people, I think what it was. And I think they inducted some Hall of Famers that day. So that's real nice. Real nice, Miami. Way to show. So, yeah, still waiting on Jared to call in. Let me tweet at him. All right, he's trying to call in. All right, so what else is happening right now? Yeah, Houston finally got a win, 28-24 over Memphis. I don't know what to think about Houston. I think I've said this before. I said this last week, and obviously you didn't know this about it. Because you couldn't listen, because we had fun times there. I don't know what to think about Houston. They lost to UTSA at home. They beat up on Grambling. That's not really that impressive. They lost to BYU in a kind of close one, if you look at the score. You know, they beat up on UNLV. They had that horrible game, was it 17-12, against UCF. And they beat Memphis tonight. I don't know what to think about Houston. I know one of my friends is a UH alum, and he's going crazy over that team right now. In Sun Belt action, what happened there? ULM lost to Kentucky 48-14 in you know, one of these body bag games. I don't know. I don't know what you think about these body bag games, but I know when North Texas was in the Sun Belt, we had to endure them. And I think most people took them as they, you know, at face value. They knew that they were just a money game, and they don't really mean anything. But it's still terrible to see your team get beat up by a team that's a lot more talented, or that has a lot more resources than you. I don't know how much more talented some of these teams are than others. It kind of depends on the day and, like, the, you know, the roster and whatever. But those are tough. So, I mean, there's not really much to say. 48-14, obviously that doesn't look good. I'm sure we'll talk to some ULM folks and, you know, they can give us a better insight on what exactly you can learn from those kinds of things. Arkansas State, again, my favorite fans on Twitter because they rile up so easily. They beat up on Georgia State 52-10. Troy wins 41-24 over New Mexico. Hold on, I'm going to get a call real quick. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, man, just trying to keep my voice intact after yelling at UTSA and Florida International for a good while. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, too. This is Jared Kelmus. Jared Kelmus, everybody. Everybody put your hands together. So you were at the UTSA game. I was at the UTSA game.
Yes, sir.
You were, like, sitting in the student section as you do normally? Is that pretty much what you do?
No, I was in section 116.
Oh, look at you moving up in this world. Yeah, I usually sit in 144, like on the end zone seat over there. It's my favorite spot.
Yeah, it's a pretty good view. Pretty lively section, too.
Yeah, I think we got like the HEB rowdy zone or the fan zone, or whatever it was. Yeah, I don't know what that means. We didn't win any prizes, so that doesn't really mean anything to me. All right, let's talk about this game, man. I went to the game. You were at the game. UTSA pretty much was terrible most of the game, and I think you won't disagree with me when I say that they were lucky to win that one.
Sorry, you were breaking out. I couldn't hear you.
How lucky was UTSA to win that game?
Oh, UTSA was incredibly lucky. It was just unbelievably lucky.
Yeah, so like, all right.
You know.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the kick return that FIU fumbled. I think the real lucky play was when FIU fumbled it on the UTSA 3-yard line, and UTSA was able to recover. Because that score probably would have put the game away if they would have punched it in.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of hard to talk about turnovers. Like, you know, usually you say, oh, well, if this one turnover didn't happen or this other turnover didn't happen. But there were seven in this game. Like, both Ooh. Teams, they're instead of trading scores, they were trading turnovers.
They were trading turnovers and penalties, too.
Yeah, it was an awful game to watch, really.
yeah, it really was.
Yeah, so, all right. So, like, if you didn't know what happened, take us through that last 2 minutes there.
Okay, man, it's such a rush. Let me see if I can remember it correctly. So, I believe that FIU was up by 3 points.
Right.
And then they were knocking on UTSA's doorstep about to score the go-ahead, or the, you know, game-sealing touchdown. And they fumbled the ball on the 3-yard line. And hold on. I think I have a timeline screwed up here.
Like, wait, yeah, I mean, that's basically what happened.
It happened so fast.
Yeah, they traded turnovers there, yeah.
Yeah. But well, did they turn it over within that 3-minute mark, or was that the second turnover?
I think they did turn it over, and then, like, so UTSA was driving, and then FIU turned it over, and then that's when UTSA got their game tying field goal.
Okay.
Yeah. And so then, yeah pretty much immediately, FIU fumbles. Well, I mean, it was immediately, but they fumble on the ensuing kickoff, sets UTSA mm-hmm. up for the game winning field goal. And that was the last minute 59.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, FIU fumbled it because their return guy tried to hurdle someone.
Yeah, he hurdled his own dude. Like, everybody in our section did like a collective, like, whoa, he hurdled his, oh, he fumbled. Yeah.
Oh, he fumbled.
Yeah, it was like impressive and then ridiculous, like all in 1 second.
Yeah. And, you know, UTSA almost, you know, screwed away that last possession there because they tried to run a quarterback sneak from the 3-yard line.
Oh, God.
With the backup center in.
Oh, God.
What was that?
Yeah, there was collective groan.
It's just another example of awful play calling throughout the game and throughout the whole season, really.
Yeah, I mean, I think I tweeted that. I was like, there's a lot of terrible play calling. Immediately after they did a quarterback sneak, everybody, even, like, the little kid who, like, probably barely understands football, he kind of looked and he was like, what was that? Yeah, what was that?
Yeah, just dumb. At first, I thought that he fumbled the snap, but it was a clean snap. It was just a called quarterback sneak from 3 yards out.
Yeah. Everybody said that same thing. Why did they sneak it on, was it third down? Was that third down or second down? I forget what it was.
It was second down.
Yeah. Whatever down it was terrible, right? You know, like, that was not a good play. It was ridiculous. All right, so coming into this game, UTSA kind of had a quarterback controversy, sort of. So Blake,
well, not really, because Tucker Carter was injured.
Yeah.
So Blake Bogenschutz was due to get the start, and he had a pretty severe injury to his hand, pretty quick. I think in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And we're still waiting to hear the final word on that, but it sounds like a lot of bad news is swirling around, a lot of rumors. Personally, I'm going to go ahead and make a guess that he broke his hand because he was only in the locker room for a few minutes and they brought him back out. So I think to me that says that it was clearly broken and, you know, they didn't need waste any time with an MRI or anything.
Okay, so in stepped Austin Robinson. And
right. The third string quarterback.
Yeah. And he went 14 of 17 for 144 yards.
Yeah, he went 14 of 17, and he had a 40-yard touchdown pass that was dropped, too.
Oh, yeah, to Brandon Armstrong.
Yeah, it really should have been 15 of 17 for, like, 230, 220.
Yeah. There were a lot of, like, I mean, pretty much this whole game was that, wasn't it? It was, like, a lot of missed opportunities. I think I was thinking, like, Florida International fumbled 6 times and lost 3 of them. It was the most ridiculous. All right, so what does this mean for UTSA, you know, like in the long run?
Oh, gosh. I mean, UTSA was such an enigma going into the game, and I think I'm even more puzzled now. It's just so hard to tell with this team. I mean, they pretty much have to win out to go to a bowl game because I don't think 6-6 is going to cut it. So they're down to their third-string quarterback, and you know, they finally pulled a guy that started, I think, like 37 games in a row. Nate Leonard, the center, got pulled in the fourth quarter. So, I don't know. The team's tumultuous right now, but crazy things have happened, and there's still a lot of talent on this roster.
Well, yeah, and that's the other thing is that, like, UTSA, well, I mean, they play here in Conference USA, and pretty much anything can happen or has happened, so it's kind of hard to be really definitive about everything, you know? Like, I don't think anybody saw that Florida Atlantic loss or the New Mexico loss, you know, but, you know, so whatever we think about the rest of the season could be, you know, could change, definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. All right, so...
You know, this team is a hard team to give up on because, you know, with all the seniors and all the experience, you know, you return most of a team that won 7 games last year, so...
All right, so what is your...
Can't count them out, but...
Wait, yeah, you don't really sound too hopeful, I guess. All right, so, like, what is your take? I mean, you have your ears to the ground. I mean, you cover the team. What is your take on the reason for the slow start?
Oh, man, you know, the play calling has been really bad. You know, every UTSA fan is going to tell you that. But I'm really starting to think the offensive line just has degressed so much. I mean, they got Bogan Shoots killed that first quarter that he was in. He was just getting drilled on every play. And, you know, Robinson took some hits as well. They adjusted pretty well in the second half. But I think the offensive line has just taken a huge step back this season. And I think it's been hard for the offense to get going because of that. Which is strange because they returned 5 starters. So I have no clue what happened.
I think I saw you tweet or somebody tweet something about like practice habits or something like that.
Yeah, so after the New Mexico loss, they were interviewing Scott Enskeep, who's probably UTSA's best lineman. And, you know, they asked him, what does UTSA need to do to move forward from this loss and, you know, get it back together? And he said, well, we need to start taking practice more seriously. That was kind of an oh crap moment for me, and like that's a really bad sign.
Yeah, well, like, I mean, that's what, 5 games in and guys are not taking practice seriously. Yeah, I mean, and that's all speculation. Yeah. I don't know what that means or how. Yeah, so it's kind of hard to gauge because there's no media access to practice, right?
Yeah, 0.
Yeah. All right. So, what's your take on next week? You go to Ruston, take on Louisiana Tech.
For an 11 a.m. kickoff.
Those are awful. We've already, like, UNT had that SMU one, and, like, we were sitting out. Are you going to travel to Ruston, you personally?
So what?
Are you going to go out to Ruston for that game?
Oh, man, I was planning on it, but the 11 a.m. start, and also I'm probably going to have to work a little bit that weekend.
Yeah.
I had to call the trip off for that. There's too much going on.
I think you made, like, most of the trips, right, this year?
Yeah, I went to Oklahoma State, and I went to the Houston game, of course, and I will be going to Rice as well, and maybe another one. We'll see.
Cool, man. All right, so what's your take? Louisiana Tech is probably the best team in the West, Conference USA West. Right.
I'm not gonna come out and like predict a UTSA win just because there's so many question marks. I mean, UTSA had so many guys come down injured this game.
Yeah,
and a lot of them look like pretty serious injuries. But the way that UTSA's defense played today, I think, you know, they'll be able to hang with Louisiana Tech and give them a hell of a game. But it's just hard to have a whole bunch of confidence in the team at this point. Now, you know, UTSA was able to bottle up FIU's offense, but you know, they have a freshman quarterback that doesn't throw a very good deep ball. Whereas Louisiana Tech is going to be able to take advantage of UTSA's, you know, biggest liability on defense because Nick Cicado, he might have one of the strongest arms in the conference.
Yeah.
He can sling the ball. So they're going to really attack UTSA's secondary, which is pretty scary. But, you know, maybe UTSA's defensive line will have enough pressure on Cicado to keep him on the run and underthrow some balls and... You know, maybe they'll get lucky again like they did against FIU. So.
Yeah, I mean, well, here's the thing. Yeah, here's the thing. Is that I think that UTSA was favored in these last 3 games, right? And so this one, maybe they're not going to be favored. And maybe that does, takes a little pressure off. I think Larry Coker in one of his press conferences this week, he mentioned, like, maybe the pressure got to everybody.
Yeah, as far as taking the pressure off, I think just getting over that hump and getting another win under belt after this game is going to be a huge relief to them. You know, so they might get back to playing their game and kind of, you know, get the monkey off the back, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, UTSA sits tied for 3rd in the conference. Louisiana Tech is 1st, 2-0. Rice, UTEP, UTSA, all 1-1 in the conference. So,
Yep, and it's going to look like that until the last week in the conference play. It's going to be a fun race.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, man. Thanks for calling in.
All right, dude. Thanks a lot. Have a good one.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was Jared Kalmus talking some UTSA. We both are here in San Antonio, or in San Antonio area. He's actually in Austin because he thinks he's a cool guy. We go back from the Cooler Chronicles days. All right, so I want to talk some UNT. I don't think we have Adam Rosenfield on today to talk some UNT. So I'm going to just talk some UNT. It's going to be me doing a little soliloquy right here, monologuing a bit, guys. All right, what to make of UNT's debacle at UAB? I think UAB is a good team. And in previewing this game over the week, I pretty much thought that UAB was going to score some points on offense. They have a tremendous offense. Cody Clements is good. You know, they're at home. They're going to score some points. But, you know, I wasn't one of these guys that thought that UNT's defense was like the 2013 version. But I expected a little bit better from them. Prior to like 2012, UNT's defense was a bend but don't break variety with a lot, but they would allow some big plays. And I expected some of that this time, but this time they are, you know, bend and break and allow big plays. On top of that, they really are getting terrible quarterback play. And, you know, I say that thinking that Dejon Williams, the freshman sensation, is their best option at quarterback, but he had a bad day. He had a terrible day. Three turnovers led directly to UAB points. He threw two pick sixes. He fumbled once, and that was picked up and returned all the way. He did throw a touchdown pass, but so did his backup, Andrew McNulty, who came in. And he went 9 of 14, 167 yards and a score. A lot of that was in garbage time when it was pretty much settled. So I don't know how much you could read into that. But, you know, North Texas came to this game, and they were 7-point underdogs. So I don't think anybody really expected them to get spanked like they were. But here's another game. North Texas starts out, and they're down by 14. And they're down by 14-plus at the half. So, I mean, this is pretty bad. This is not exactly – I saw some tweets from other North Texas fans talking about how terrible this season has been and how disappointed it's been. I mean, everybody knew that this was a rebuilding year. I knew it was a rebuilding year. I expected some things to be poor, but I didn't expect things to be this bad. UAB looks good, and they're a lot better than they were last year. And, you know, I think they can do some things. They're 2-1 in the East. So, I mean, everybody's chasing Marshall there. Marshall's 6-0 overall. They're 2-0 in the conference. Middle Tennessee's at 3-1. They pretty much played, like, all their conference games already. So there's still some room to kind of jumble it around. Taking a look at UAB's schedule, they take on Middle Tennessee next week, and then they play a non-conference game against Arkansas. Then they take on Florida Atlantic, La Tech, and then Marshall to end the year. So that's going to be a huge one, as it looks right now. I think UAB has some firepower. You know, they certainly looked really good today, and their defense, you know, looked awesome today also. But I don't know how much of that was the very poor North Texas offense, but you know, I'm wrong here. UAB takes on Southern Miss to end the year, and they're home against Marshall this second to last week. So, point remains though. I think this conference that may decide the conference there, or the East division. I don't know. So that's my little short take, my little soliloquy, my little rant on the debacle that was the UNT football game against UAB. I don't want to take anything away from UAB, but I don't really know too much about them. I'm not a huge UAB fan, as you can imagine. So yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. I've seen some people already talk about Andrew McNulty starting in place of Dejon Williams. I don't know. I personally think Dejon Williams is better. I think you want to build for the future. I don't know if Andrew McNulty is the future, but he certainly can make a case for starting, given his play today and given Dejon Williams' play. All right, I think Carl Strength is going to join me to talk a little Sun Belt in a second. So whenever he's able to call in, we'll do that. we'll talk some Sun Belt. Speaking of some Sun Belt, what'd I say? What happened this week? Let's take a look at the standings in the belt. Wait, I think that's Carl now. Hey, Carl.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, man, how's it going?
I'm all right.
All right, so, like, you know, I'm not the hugest. I haven't been keeping up with the Sun Belt too much, but you have, so that's why we have you on, man. Yeah, take us through the week that was in the Sun Belt Conference, the Fun Belt, if you will.
Yeah, there were only five games today that involved Sun Belt teams. One of them you kind of touched on, the UL Monroe versus Kentucky game. It's kind of interesting. Monroe jumped out early. It was one of those things that if you were watching, you probably saw it go out of that track. You're like, well, that's interesting because they're up 14-3 after the first quarter. And everybody's like, oh, is Kentucky turning into Kentucky again? And then they rattled off 45 straight points. So,
yeah, that's usually how those things go. I think, you know, that was like the bright spot, and I'm sure everybody, all of ULM Twitter was probably lighting up with some hope, and then it dies.
Yeah, then it's just like, oh, right,
yeah.
You have a second string.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to make of those kinds of games. What's your stance on body bag games?
I mean, they're necessary evils, right? Like, especially in the Sun Belt, you just need the money to even have a program. I know from a Georgia State standpoint, they're going to clear, you know, $1.5 million at least by playing. They played Washington earlier this year, and they have Clemson very late in the year. And it'll fund a lot of their other, like, their basketball team and things like that. And, it also, I mean, it helps get the name out on the program. Maybe helps with recruiting a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah,
see, talk from recruiting people that could better.
Yeah, that's a weird argument that all the ADs give about like recruiting, because I don't know how many people are like, you know what, I saw them get shellacked 45-14. Let me go play for that team. You know, I mean, maybe there are some dudes that do that. I don't know. I mean, I don't know, but it just seems kind of a weird argument.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, if you're a borderline D1 athlete, you could either go be a walk-on and never play, or come be a superstar at a school like this and occasionally have to line up and get destroyed twice a year or so.
It's like, hey, you get to play at Kentucky and get beat really bad. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Kentucky's kind of sneaky good this year. They might be in the top 25 after this week, depending on how things shake out.
Yeah. That's true. It's a bad year to catch Kentucky. Every once in a while, you can catch them on a down year, and you actually might have a chance to upset them. And, you know, everybody says, oh, Kentucky, you know.
Yeah, exactly. In the game that I normally focus on, Georgia State, and they hosted Arkansas State for homecoming today, and they lost 52-10. And, yeah,
oh, and a close one.
Really good.
Yeah,
it's actually the, other than the Washington game, it's the first time this year that Georgia State has just completely fallen apart on the field, I guess. They're 1-5, but it's not like they've been doing great. But most of their, all of their games have been fairly close, one or two possession games.
Yeah, it was like New Mexico State, they lost by 3. Air Force, they lost by 10. Like you say, Washington, they got blown out. But ULM, they lost by 3. So, yeah, they're in it. I think that makes all those losses tougher. Yeah.
Yeah, and then today, Arkansas State, they play Georgia Southern in October, and that'll be an interesting – or no, we play Georgia Southern. Arkansas State doesn't play Georgia Southern, and that's unfortunate because they're the best two teams in the Sun Belt, probably, or most assuredly.
Yeah. It's a quirk of the schedule there.
Yeah.
6, 7, 8. What, there are 11? 11 Sun Belt teams?
Yeah, there's 11 Sun Belt teams, so they don't play each other, and there's not a conference championship game.
Yeah.
And they both could possibly, I mean, I guess the South Alabama could be an issue for Arkansas State, but
Yeah, clearly Georgia Southern and Arkansas State are the class of the conference right now. I mean, Texas State, I don't know what they have. They're kind of sneaky good. They're kind of weird.
Right.
Yeah, how'd they do today? They beat Idaho 35-30. They had a bye week. What am I saying? Yeah, I don't know. Again, yeah, I don't know. I mean, Idaho is pretty. They're pretty non good. So, anybody beating up on Idaho, that's kind of like a well, yeah, they should. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, Idaho's, it's a fight to be the worst in the Sun Belt, but I think Idaho has it. Troy just jumped out and beat New Mexico State pretty handily today, which is going to confuse, we do the Sun Belt rankings, and it's the bottom four have been fairly easy, but now they're going to start jumbling around.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, all those years that North Texas spent in the Sun Belt were pretty bad. A lot of the reason was because, like, North Texas was, like, clearly the worst team in the Sun Belt, except for the years that I think somebody reminded me, like, as North Texas was losing pretty bad, somebody said, well, you know, we've had worse years, so it's not a big deal. You know, I think we had winless years. I was like, no, we beat Western Kentucky some of those years, so there you go. It was like our annual win against Western Kentucky. So I'm really familiar with being part of the dregs of the Sun Belt Conference. It's not really that fun. Yeah.
They're all interestingly bad. So
yeah, that's good. If you're going to be bad, you might as well be interesting, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And the weird result today in the Sun Belt was probably Liberty beating Appalachian State in overtime. Like, I knew Appalachian State wasn't that good this year, but it's strange to see them lose to Liberty.
Yeah. What do you make of that?
I don't know. I mean, like, I knew that, like, when they came up, it wasn't the best time for them to. Like, they probably should have moved up a few years earlier.
Yeah.
And they were going to have a rough transition. But I think most people kind of thought they would slide into sort of that mid, like, not the top four or five teams, but the next little batch of Sun Belt teams. And they haven't really shown anything so far.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. I don't know. I think the thing about these, like, this level of football, it's hard to get any consistency. And so
Right. You
have these weird fluctuations in even weeks, but a lot of times years, you know, like, you have bad year and good year. I wouldn't be surprised if, like, App State next year comes out and they're, like, the best in the conference. Because that's how the Sun Belt and this level of football, that's how it happens. I mean, that's how college football does things. But I think particularly in these G5 conferences.
Right, exactly. I could see that. I mean, I think everyone's just a little surprised at, quite frankly, just how poorly they've played so far.
Yeah. But, you know, that was an overtime game, 55-48 overtime. So it wasn't like they got spanked by them, right?
Well, no, but it's just what division is Liberty even in? Are they?
Yeah, they're like they're FCS. Big South,
so yeah.
Yeah. That super low level stuff. I don't know. There's always like a Sun Belt team that'll lose to one of those teams every year.
Yeah, Georgia State just barely beat Abilene Christian to start the year.
Yeah,
that looked bad until Abilene Christian actually turned around and beat Troy a few weeks later.
Yeah.
So, there was a worse side of that, I guess.
So, all right. Do you think Georgia Southern and Arkansas State, say they win out the rest of the way, do you think they both get a bowl game?
Honestly, it probably depends on how many, like, teams have qualified for bowls. Right? Like,
I mean, right.
That's always the issue with the Sun Belt. We have more teams, but then you don't have that many bowl tie-ins. I think there's the one bowl tie-in, so we need to fill in for another conference.
Right.
So maybe if the MAC doesn't meet its bowl requirements, the Sun Belt team gets invited in, but probably, I don't know. I mean, Georgia Southern, I feel like, has a big fan base.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's just a product of living in Georgia, or maybe it's not throughout all of the Southeast, or enough to care about a bowl. Also, Georgia Southern just moved up. Are they bowl eligible yet?
I don't know. That's what I was wondering. I forget what year they are in. They might not be. In which case, then, I mean, I think Texas State is kind of hoping, you know, to get the second spot. That's really the terrible thing about the Sun Belt is that, like, you can win eight games and that doesn't guarantee you a bowl spot.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a couple of years ago when Middle Tennessee was still in it. They beat Georgia Tech and finished with like a 7-5 record, but didn't get a bowl. And that Tech team did. It was like, oh, right.
Yeah.
Because you're in the ACC.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and that's the kind of thing. It's like the rich get richer kind of thing. Because I think, you know, I think if you get eight wins in a Sun Belt, I mean, that's really, yeah, okay. Yeah, you could say it's a Sun Belt. Maybe it's not all that impressive. But, you know, you have a winning record. And there's other teams with worse records. So maybe, I don't know, maybe they do like a rotating kind of thing where like, all right, we skipped you 1 year, but now this year we'll let you in. I don't know. I don't know how to do these things. But
yeah,
I think the
rule allowing 6-6 teams to go to bowls,
yeah,
really hurt like the smaller conferences.
Yes, yes.
It allowed more major programs to become bowl eligible.
Yeah. I mean,
it's,
you know, which
35 bowls, so you need
to. I mean, and the casual fan, you know, that ever elusive, much sought after casual fan, you know, that's a win for them because they're going to want like a 6-6 Michigan team in, you know, your name here bowl, and they're not necessarily going to want. Yeah,
it's just like, oh, cool, Michigan's playing on a Wednesday in December. I guess I'll watch the game instead of being like Georgia Southern or somebody.
Yeah.
And I get that. Being in the South, it's weird. Like, I don't know that many casual fans. Like, I went to UGA and just like, you always hear that, but I don't. It's a sport that I don't think lends itself that well to the true casual fans.
Yeah.
But I guess they're out there.
they must be out there. I mean, everybody wants to be their friend, right? Everybody wants to get them to watch their sport, yeah. I mean, yeah, and that's the thing, too, is that, like, it makes sense, right? Sure. But I think if you rotate a little Arkansas State in there, you rotate a little Texas State, Louisiana Lafayette, and then let them show what they can do on the stage. That's how they build up, you know, brand recognition there. So that way it's not so weird. You're like, oh, yeah, Arkansas State, they're that team that XYZ, you know. They always have a fun offense or whatever.
Changes their coach every year and stays good.
Yeah, that's the weirdest thing about them. They're so weird. They're on, like, I think their ninth coach in 1 year or something like that, I forget what it is.
Yeah, they every year they hire a new coach, every year he does really good, and then he takes a better job, so.
Yeah, what was it, I'm trying to think of who the first guy was, and then it was Gus Malzahn, and then it was, like, Brian Harsin, and then, who's their coach now? I don't even know who their coach is now. I suppose I could look it up. What say you, internet? Oh, it was Hugh Freeze, right? Wasn't he their coach?
Yeah, Hugh Freeze was there.
Yeah. Yeah. I like Arkansas. I say this all the time. I like Arkansas State fans because they're like super aggressive on Twitter, and that makes Twitter fun when you're playing them. Right. Like, just tweet like anything about Arkansas State, and they're like, what'd you say? Huh? Let me tell you about I mean, and that's good because, like, you don't really see that kind of passion about any other team, you know? It's usually just like, oh, don't talk mess about that team, you know? Anyway, that's just me. That's the kind of fun I like to have on Twitter because I'm ridiculous. Yeah. All right, so we talked Georgia Southern, App State losing, Troy beating up on New Mexico State. I think everybody kind of beats up on New Mexico State, though. I don't know. So, like, what's your outlook on the Sun Belt here? I mean, outside of what we just said, that do you think that Georgia Southern and Arkansas State are going to win out? Or do you see an upset looming on the horizon?
I mean, unless someone like South Alabama or even Texas State catches them. I just saw Arkansas State play a little bit today, and they look really complete. Part of that is Georgia State is decimated by injuries. So,
yeah.
It was a weird game for Georgia State. They normally lose because they make really bad penalties and turnovers. They had two turnovers today, but that's actually about normal. And they only committed, I think, one penalty. I can look it up couple of picks. I think it was only like one penalty in the whole game. They just got beat. Like, it was just one of those, oh, right, you're better than us. They Arkansas State jumped out like 24-0 in the first quarter.
And yeah.
Didn't earn anywhere.
Yeah, like big players, like a 51-yard scramble. I'm reading the recap here. I didn't get a chance to watch them, obviously. I was college football in it up all day.
Yeah.
618 total yards did Arkansas State put over Georgia State. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, they just beat them, like, ran past, did whatever they really wanted to. And must have been getting more pressure on Arbuckle than anyone else has, because Georgia State normally can pass the ball fairly proficiently. It's where a lot of the turnovers come from, but they throw the ball downfield pretty well, and they just couldn't today.
Huh.
His average completion was like under 5 yards.
Yeah. I see Ben McLean got. Did he get cleanup work? Is that what happened?
Yeah. I didn't catch the end of the game. I'm fairly certain. I don't think Arbuckle got injured. I haven't seen anything that said that. I hope not. That would be really devastating. But I don't think they probably just put McLean in.
Makes sense. Yeah, Arkansas State jumped out 24-0, and then pretty much it just kept scoring the rest of the game. 7 in the second, 14 in the third. They just pretty much owned that game. That's a beatdown, folks. Jeez.
Yep. Just steady.
Yeah. So, you know, I was talking a mess about the Idaho thing. So Georgia Southern beat Idaho 47-24. Did you get a chance to look at that game or just box scored?
No, I didn't. I'm sure it went like a lot of Georgia Southern games where they look like they're clearly the best team on the field, but then they do things that allow teams to hang around with them. That even happened when they were playing ACC teams earlier this year. They looked better than NC State and Tech for large portions of those games, and then lost because
because of ridiculous,
Well, the Georgia Tech game, they lost because of a really interesting interpretation of a lateral. But.
Yeah, that's what happens when you're a smaller school. I can't really see them. I'm looking at their schedule. Georgia State, Troy, Texas State, Navy, Louisiana Monroe. I could see them losing to Navy, and but I could see them winning out here. So, I mean,
possibly. I mean, Navy could give them a run. That'll be a game that'll probably be over in about 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Neither team will pass. Just run.
All right. So Georgia Southern, where are they in their progress as a FBS school?
Let me look it up. I think they just moved up this year. Like, I think last year was their last year at FCS.
Right. So like, the reason I ask is because, I want to do a comparison here. So what is more impressive? Like, say Georgia Southern wins out. Is that more impressive than UTSA's, third year in Conference USA, like tying for, second, I think it was? What do you think? Just off the top of your head.
I don't know. Like, Georgia Southern's been one of those teams that everyone kind of knew was, they beat Florida last year. They had a down year last year, but they did beat Florida. They're a fairly substantial program. They've been around and been building for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people were surprised they didn't move up earlier.
Yeah.
Like in the mid-90s, it seemed like they could move up when they were winning championships at that level pretty regularly.
That makes sense. I mean, I'm just wondering. I know it's like a progression, and so like a lot of people are not going to say, well, UTSA just started out. But I don't know. As we've seen, sometimes you move up to FBS, and then it's a shock to some teams. They're like, whoa, this is a lot bigger jump than we were expecting. Interesting.
Yeah, they just looked it up. They are not bowl eligible this year, so.
Interesting.
I guess they could win the Sun Belt and not be able to go to a bowl game.
Well, I mean, I guess they'll be they're treating every game like it's their bowl game, I guess, because they won't be able to go to one.
Yeah.
Wait, so Georgia Southern does a whose house, our house thing? Isn't that kind of like Houston? Who started that? That's what I want to know.
I'm not aware of that.
I just know that because, like, Houston came to North Texas and they were doing that Who's House, Cougs House, as they were beating North Texas in the opener of the of Apogee Stadium. And that was burnt into my soul. And I think I hate that chant now. But, yeah, I just saw that. I was looking at their traditions.
I've never been to a game in Statesboro. I need to get down there.
Yeah, do it, man. There you go, road trip. All right, so I think I don't think anybody else is gonna call in right now. I think we had some no shows on the I don't even know what to call this, the inaugural Underdog Dynasty podcast, because this is really the second one, but it's the first one that other people are gonna be able to hear past night of. Yeah, so that's the fun time. That's what happens when you start a podcast middle of the season and on the spur of the moment. But yeah, there you go. I don't know. Do you want to? Let's see. I'm gonna drag you into some American Athletic talk. BYU UCF. That was a Thursday night game. UCF won 31-24. ECU beat up on USF 28-17. You know, I kind of cover these. Did you see that Miami? They had like four people in their stadium. They beat Cincinnati.
Yeah, I saw that. Like.
What was the deal with that?
Like, none, like I thought at first, like, oh, this is a picture someone's taken like 90 minutes for, but like there were football players like playing, like running plays.
Yeah, that was like the second quarter. Yeah.
I think it was SB Nation or Jason Kirk tweeted it out. Like, there were people just playing catch with football.
Yeah, and it was like super empty. It's ridiculous. Yeah, and I saw they had like
really nice in Miami today. So.
Yeah, that really is a problem. I mean, you see a lot of the other stadiums, you know, like Green Bay, everybody, like the only thing to do in Green Bay is go to Packers games, I guess. In Miami, maybe you have one or two other things to do than go to a University of Miami game, especially like an okay Miami team.
Do you follow the American really well? Like, is Memphis, like, was Houston beating Memphis today upset at all? Or, cause I thought Memphis was pretty good earlier this year.
To answer your question, no, I don't really follow the American Conference like too closely. Yeah, looking at their schedule.
Wildly speculate on it, then.
Yeah, I mean that's fine. That's fun. This is the internet. That's what the internet's for. It's wild speculation. So. Go ahead. What were you saying?
I may be basing my thought that Memphis was good solely on the fact that I saw them put up a fight against UCLA.
You know, that's a good enough reason to think that they're good. Yeah, that's a good enough reason. I mean, they beat Middle Tennessee, right? So what does that mean? I don't know. Middle Tennessee is one of the better teams in Conference USA. I mean, they're like 800 Conference USA teams, so I don't even know. Like, they're like top third. So, you know, Ole Miss beat them up 24-3, but Ole Miss is Ole Miss, and they're looking really good. So,
maybe
they're the number one
team in the country tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know what to think about Houston. I mean, I think now that Kevin Sumlin is, you know, what, N years removed from there, I think you're kind of seeing his impact on the program, because they are a long way off from where they were when he was there. What is it? They lost that game to UTSA to start the season, and they really haven't looked good since. I know they beat Memphis, but I don't know. I don't really know if people are really excited about Houston football right now, even with their new stadium. I don't know. And I get all this from my friend who's a U of H alum, and you know, he just basically complains about the offense all the time. That's what he does.
Yeah, looking, it looked like Memphis was about a touchdown favorite according to people that track the favorite of American game. It was a slight upset, so I was right
with
the assumption.
Yeah. Well, it's like a touchdown favorite at home, so that kind of means, like, yeah, guess, what? Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a 4.5-point favorite, really, I guess, or something.
Yeah. So I don't know. So there you go. Wild speculation. It was a kind of an upset. There you go.
Yeah, we're going to call Houston over Memphis. Bit of an upset.
Yeah, so East Carolina, they're clearly the class of the conference, and they beat South Florida 28-17. Are you excited about that game? Do you feel, I don't know, I feel like East Carolina should have stayed in Conference USA to battle Marshall, you know?
Yeah, and it was kind of weird. East Carolina was, I think they just overlook South Florida or something? Like, because they were losing that game into the fourth quarter.
Really now? So yeah, well, yeah, it says here they scored two touchdowns to kind of rally. I mean, that's what good teams do. I mean, I don't know. That's, I don't know what you're... If my arbitrary, you know, measure of a good team is to see, like, you know, if when you play poor, do you still win? You know, and I think that's what happened here. They played poorly, but they still pulled out a victory, an ugly victory. But it's a victory nonetheless.
Yeah, I mean, and looking ahead, like, I mean, Temple looked really good the time I saw them, but that was against Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
But yeah, East Carolina probably should coast through the rest of this. A UCF game at the very end of the year might be fun.
Yeah. Sorry, I got distracted by this. I was looking at this Baylor score and how they scored all these touchdowns like to close the game there, basically. So I like
yeah,
I said,
that game was crazy, but it's not really our group. But yeah, that game
yeah.
Was-
It's college football. That was, you know. So here's the thing. I went to, like I said, I went to the FIU UTSA game, and man, that game seemed like it was taking forever. And that was like with no scoring. You know, that was ridiculous. And I couldn't imagine like a game like this TCU Baylor one. It's 61-58. I think that was like it probably took forever. It felt like it took forever, but it was a lot more fun. A lot of touchdowns scored. Not a whole lot of touchdowns scored in this other game.
Yeah, Baylor scored the final 24 points in that game. So
yeah.
That's how they won by three.
Yeah, and then contrast that to the UTSA-FIU game where UTSA wins by three, and it takes forever, and it was kind of an awful game. Yeah. All right, what else happened? Tulane, 12-3. Talk about a boring game. Jeez. That's like, yeah, they scored a touchdown, they got a safety, and they kicked a field goal. That was, so they scored in like, they scored one, two, and three, like consecutively. Because after the six, they kicked the extra point, that's one, then they scored two in the third quarter, and then they scored three. That's about the only interesting thing that happened in that game, looks like.
I love the quarter that just has the safety in it.
Yeah, jeez.
One team just held on.
Yeah, a couple of non-good teams there. UConn is 1-5, 0-3 in the conference. Tulane, 2-4, now 1-1 in the conference. If I'm looking at this correctly.
Yeah, they're.
There you go. I think Tulane. I think they're maybe missing Conference USA. Also, they had a lot more fun last year when they were giving the conference a little run for the money, and were like tied for first in the division for a while. Now they are firmly. They're firmly not good in that conference. Uncompetitive, I'd say. So, yeah, that's the American Conference. I think we covered everything we need to cover. Like, oh, well, how about Rice taking on Army, 41-24. And, well, Navy won 51-14. That was another body bag game. I don't know. How good is Rice, do you think? I know you're a Sun Belt guy. How good is Rice? That's what I want to know.
Sorry, what was that?
How good is Rice, in your opinion?
I mean, I don't think that good, but I mean, I don't know that much about Rice at all, to be honest.
Yeah, well, so they started out the season, you know, while you're looking this up, they started out the season losing three in a row, Notre Dame, A&M, ODU. Everybody was surprised at the ODU game. But the you know Notre Dame and Texas A&M that was like well okay well yeah, but past that you got Southern Miss. They beat up on Southern Miss. Southern Miss not that good. They beat Hawaii, non conference game. Okay, Hawaii. Now they beat Army. I expected them to beat Army. I don't know how good Army is. You know, so they haven't really played teams that I think are really good. So I don't know. I don't know how good Army. Rice is.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at their upcoming schedule, I think you're going to have issues with Marshall, obviously.
Yeah.
I heard you touch on them earlier.
Yeah, like,
probably
I mean...
Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, Louisiana Tech is class of the conference. UTEP, they can give you a game. Marshall, again, class of the conference. And I mean, I expect Marshall to be clearly favored in that one. UTSA, you know, if we had this conversation in August, we'd say, wow... November 8th, that's a big week, you know, big week there, Rice. UTSA, that could decide the division. You know, UTSA is hanging on by a thread right now. So, you know, if Rice is the Rice that we thought they were, then they're going to probably be clearly favored at home against UTSA. If they're the Rice that played against Old Dominion and we don't really know too much about, I don't know, that game could be anything. I really don't know what to expect. I think I do expect them to beat North Texas, though, Rice. I think they are better than North Texas.
That seems fair.
That's all I got to say about that. Yeah. Okay, so that's it. We covered everybody. Covered the two independents. Right. American. Hey, thanks, Carl. Thanks for allowing me to drag you in for the last 30 minutes and force you to talk outside of your conference speciality.
It's fine. And if we miss anybody, maybe they can yell at you on Twitter. Completely forgetting
them. Yeah, there you go. With that, I think we're going to close down the podcast. It's been an hour. It's been kind of fun. I am stuffy, and I probably sound terrible, and I'm going to hate the way I sound when I listen to this later. But again, if you have any hot sports opinions, and you're like, dude, you totally missed this point and that point and this other thing, hit me up on Twitter. I am ZE_Martino. But then just tweet at Underdog Dynasty, and we'll all be able to follow on that. Comment on the site. Obviously, read the site, comment on it. We'll get better next week. It'll be fun. We'll do this again next week at midnight Central Time. I'm out.